Do you ever get hit by a wild idea and feel that ADHD compulsion to bring it to life immediately? Of course you do. So in this episode, I'm sitting down with Erin Olilla, marketing whiz, copywriter, and returning guest, and we're talking about pop-up offers. They're not just good for your business, they're good for your brain. They refresh your energy, keep things exciting, and give your clients the quick wins they're looking for. Erin, you and I have known each other for a little while. You've been a guest on this podcast previously. I have guested on yours. And one of the reasons why I pay such close attention to what you do is because of the number of people with ADHD who are writers. And this is your forte. But lately, you caught my eye again for a different reason. I knew you were planning to launch a new product, which by the time this episode goes live, is already out in the world serving people. But before you launched it, you decided to create what I call a couple of pop-up offers. We're not talking Black Friday sale. We're talking about a very unique and I think well-priced, well-timed, and well-positioned offers, which I wouldn't have guessed anyone in their right mind would do a couple of months before a launch. So unpack all of this with me, will you?
Well, I'm thrilled to be back to start. I guess I'm not in my right mind, and I think that's totally fine to lead with that.
I can agree with you that.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because the truth of the matter is I'm a marketer. I have my degrees in creative writing, in communications, and in language arts. But the second that I started working within the world of words, it was always within marketing.
Yes.
A smart marketer will tell you that number one thing that goes into any decision is strategy, which I 100% agree with. And I will say I do a good job in my own business to start with strategy for almost everything. However, we are here today because I also have ADHD. And regardless of what my decade in marketing and all these, you know, advanced degrees that I have will tell you, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. That's the compulsion part of, like, you know, being a person with attention deficit, just hyperactivity disorder, is you get an idea sometimes and you're like, we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
And that happened to me as of the time of this recording last Friday, midway through the day, a couple of hours before I got my children off of the bus. And I just went with it.
You just had to. So for context, Erin, have you ever done a pop-up offer before, or is this the first?
You know, I think the truthful answer to that is yes, in the sense that, you know, maybe in the past, if I had a little extra flexibility in between clients and I knew that, I would say to my email list or on social media, hey, I have a light week next week, you know, like I'm going to discount my strategy hours, which I've always offered consistently in my business. So would I call that a pop-up offer? Yes. But to me, that was slightly different in the sense was it was something I already offered.
Yes.
And I was just discounting it because of scheduling versus creating something. I wouldn't say my offer is 100% new. It's just a different combination or a different like look to what I've done. So to answer you truthfully, the answer is yes and no. I've kind of done pop-up offers, but this was probably my first truly formed pop-up offer for around a specific topic for a specific price that is not listed on my website.
Yeah. And the reason why I thought it was so unique, obviously, I was curious that you were launching these offers within a couple months of an actual launch, even though I know you have ADHD and I know you, but it was how they were so well-timed, well-priced, and well-positioned. And I thought, man, this is something that I think a lot of small business owners, creatives, service providers, coaches, consultants, solopreneurs could probably do in their business and maybe should do in their business. Let's talk about the specifics before we talk about the strategy and maybe what you might have done differently, if you would have done anything differently, because maybe not everybody listening is certain what a pop-up offer is. So let's talk about this two specific offers in light of what you normally offer in your business and like the timing and the number of them and the pricing and all the details.
Absolutely. So as a marketer, I focus in copywriting and search engine optimization. So I write websites for small businesses. I write content like blogs for big brands. And for both of those two types of clientele, I focus it highly on search optimization, because if you're not going to get found, what's the point of creating content? Especially because once you're found, we want to convert those people into paying clients. So we talked about how I'm launching, and I will be launching a group cohort program that is specifically around rewriting your business website. Now, in the planning of that, I realized that I had gaps of time in my schedule, and I could fill them with a longer service-based client. Like, I could get another website copywriting client. Mm-hmm. I could get more work from some of the brands that I worked with. In doing that, though, that taxes me the amount of time that I have, right? And it taxes my energy to show up well in my launch and show up for my students once we get the program started. So I created a pop-up offer that would be complementary to the group program that I'm offering, not necessarily compete with it. Because my first instinct was a pop-up website audit, which, similarly to what I've done in the past, is just adjusting something that's already on my website, right? Like, I was going to discount it, try to not cut it up, but like, how can I productize this in a way that will get done a little bit quicker than a traditional website audit would? However, why am I auditing websites if literally in a week I'm going to talk about how small business owners can make their own upgrades to their website and they can do it on their own and they don't need to hire a service provider? So when the spark in my brain on Friday, as I looked at my calendar, literally just planning backwards from the actual group program launch day, because we're also factoring in scheduling things at this point in time of Black Friday sales, of traditional holidays, and how a lot of business owners will take off New Year's or whatever holiday that they celebrate culturally for, you know, December. So I got to really be strategic about my time. And like I said, I could have had a larger project, or I could have tried to fit some small things in. So because I did not want to compete with the actual sales I was offering for this program, I decided to create two new mini offers of things that I do all the time, but don't have their own little home on my website or in my services offerings. And that was a SEO sprint and a content strategy sprint. And all of the backstory that I just gave you was specifically to show you that the SEO will, of course, influence your website, and the content strategy will, of course, improve on any good copy you already have. So if someone buys this actual sprint, they could still end up in my group program and not feel like they just wasted money paying me twice for something. Or they don't even have to think about my group program, because that might not be a need for them. They could just do the sprint and go on with their life and their business as I continue to launch the next thing in my business.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why we need strategy. And I'm so glad you walked me through this, because, Erin, I was just assuming that you thought, okay, I'm going to be launching this new program in January. I've got that all worked out, because I know what a strategic thinker you are. And now, oh man, look at all this white space in my calendar. Nothing makes somebody with ADHD panic more than white space in their calendar. And we feel this compulsion to fill it up with something. But instead of just thinking, well, I don't want to take on a new long-term client, I don't want to take on extra work for my existing clients because bandwidth, right? You're getting ready to go on the holidays. You don't want to use yourself up before you launch a new program, because it's a cohort and you got to bring the energy for that. But you also don't want to just have a missed opportunity and leave money on the table. So I would have assumed that you would think, okay, what's short term, time limited, solution focused, so it's an easy sell, not too labor intensive, and I don't have to create something completely new from scratch because I've already got a lot of the bones of the program in what I already do. But you actually did something that's even more next level than that. You created these offers. I'm blowing smoke all the way up your skirt, so sit back and enjoy. You created offers that could be bought independently by people who just want the SEO sprint, because they're on top of their SEO, but they just want to make sure everything's all nice and tight. Or they're like, I've been working so hard, I really don't want to think about my content strategy for the next quarter. I really just kind of want to like bang it out. And it's very well priced and the amount of time invested. I also love the almost instant gratification aspect of it, because in the SEO offer, you're literally doing it together. I think, is that the one you do it together and by the end of the meeting, they have what they need and the other ones they get it the next day, or the reverse?
Yeah. Kind of what you said. So in the SEO offer, I do all of my work on the front end and I deliver them like my answers, like the analysis and what they need to do to improve. Then we meet to discuss, because if you've ever bought an SEO offer, you know, you just feel an immense amount of overwhelm. Yes. And the first thing you want to do is just put that in the Google Drive and pretend that it didn't exist. Yeah. And even though you're pretending that, you're still feeling this level of like, well, that was a waste of money, or I can't believe I just spent so much money and now I've got to do all this work. Well, it doesn't really have to be that way though, because if you have someone doing SEO for you, you just copy and paste what I'm telling you. Like, I'm going to show you where to put it. And during that call, I can remove that overwhelm. I can remove that like wanting to just hide from the project, because we could even do the implementation in a screen share. I know from the past that when I've done SEO for people, I always feel like, we talk about when we ask for testimonials, that we ask like when people are really excited. I promise you, nobody's excited when I give them their SEO results. They want them. They want to improve, but it's just a lot, right? Like, you don't want to hear things aren't working. And even if they're working okay, you don't want to see that there's a lot of tiny little tweaks that you have to do to improve on it. So just getting them together on that time gives them more of that chance to like make them feel comfortable, make them feel like they can improve on their SEO, and help answer questions that will arise while they're looking at my actual report for them. On the flip side, with content strategy, I can't do any work for people in advance, because it all depends on your business goals. Yes. So similar to how the SEO strategy gets delivered the day before our call, the content strategy gets delivered the day after the call. I'm not creating an entire business plan with this content strategy. I am legitimately just looking and analyzing what they have done, talking to them about what their goals are, making informed decisions, and building a strategy that they can hop into at that point. So they're going to be building on that in the future once they get going, but it removes that blank page option for them where they're like, there's a lot I could write about. You know, like, these are, as you mentioned, these are things that are packaged in some way I'm already working with clients. You know, when I'm doing a full website copywriting project, we're doing content strategy, we're doing SEO. So it's a skill that I have that I can just jump into quickly and efficiently and provide someone results that they cannot do on their own. But I'm only building on the information that has been given to me. So it's like, sometimes business owners come to me, especially with like blog content, and they'll be like, I can write, but like, I don't know what to start with. Like, I have 40 things I need to write about. And I can look at their list of 40 things and organize it into categories, or I can structure it into, you know, like, this is DIY. You don't have DIY offers, because that's a mistake everyone always makes.
Yeah.
So just being able for me to put that like strategic hat on lets someone have, like you mentioned, the quick win to just do the thing. So they, like an ADD instant gratification, they get that, okay, this isn't a waste of money. Oh, I know exactly what to do. And now I can just do that thing and I'm going to start seeing the results. I do this too, but I see so many people constantly on social media. This is not the right word choice, because I don't mean it in a negative way, but complain about the fact that they're not doing these things they know they should be doing. Or worse, that they want to be doing. Because again, like, a lot of people will say, I think it would be fun to blog. Like, I think it would be really interesting, let's say a photographer, to like, you know, share the home documentary style like clients that I have. This would be so fun to talk about it. But they don't know how to pull those pieces in and weave them into business goals. So it just gives them the tool to take it and do that on their own.
What makes these pop-up offers make so much sense is that you've already created the bones. You already have these structures in your business. You do this all the time. So it's not a lot of effort for you. It's not a lot of effort for them, but they get a lot of bang for their bucks because in like an hour and a half, I think it's an hour and a half with you. Like, here's the plan. And I'm going to meet with you. And I'm going to show you, these are your priorities. Yes, I know it's overwhelming. That's why you're not going to try to do it all at once. Here's where you're going to start. This is what you're going to do next. If you could only do 20% of what's on this sheet, these are the 20% that you should focus on, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that they can literally turn that hour into money. Yes. And they can probably use it again and again and again. But you didn't have to create it from scratch. You could run this again. Like, you probably will run it again. Maybe you've already run it again by the time this episode goes live. But this is an offer that you're giving them a choice, but you're not giving them too many choices. Right.
And so that's said, so important. Grounded.
Yes. I'm just thinking all the different ways that this is like a very smart way to do pop-up offers. Does everybody need to do pop-up offers? No, but have the stuff that you've already created, so it's easy to put into action. You did it in less than a week. It's already part of your existing business. It doesn't cannibalize or compete with anything else mm-hmm. you're offering. So that I didn't think about this originally, but somebody could just buy one of these offers and take it and use it. But even if there's someone who's already planning to be in your group cohort, they wouldn't be wasting time. They would actually just be getting a head start. I think that's probably the most strategic part about it. I wouldn't have assumed that. I would have assumed that the pop-up offers are for an entirely different segment of your audience than the folks that you will be enrolling in the group program. And that wasn't even necessary for that to be the distinction.
No, and I think it serves both, right? And I think if you're listening and you're trying to make either the distinction of like what a pop-up offer is compared to what you might already offer, I can provide you with a little bit of a explanation about why I chose to do it this way. I mentioned that I did have, you know, strategy hour calls, and you had mentioned that part of this specific pop-up opportunity is that they can get on a call with me. Mm-hmm. When I originally thought of this, I thought, well, okay, I'll do a call, I'll do something. But here's the problem with calls. You get on a call and you either ideate so that you're so excited and you get off of the call and you lose all that motivation and you lose all that excitement because, again, it's that too many choices or too many things to do. Or you get off the call feeling really confident and then you have follow-up questions as you're like, oh, crap, wait. What did Aaron say? And like, yes, I always provide transcripts and video recordings for all of my strategy calls, but it doesn't give you that whole picture. Mm-hmm. So I specifically designed this to not be just a call. And that kind of is how it's one of those, and I never say this word right, but it's like the productized service, because it is not just a packaged into a let's figure out what's happening within a very specific time frame. There is an actual deliverable that gets given to the person. Yeah. And as a service provider who has hired service providers for things before, I think it is important, and I'm going to put another disclaimer here, especially in today's economy, that people feel like they're getting something for what they're paying for. Do I, as a service provider who really does 90% of my business in strategy work, feel confident that I'm giving them something they're paying for? Sure. But consumers think different than strategists, right? Like, they hire a strategist so that they can get the benefit of strategy.
Yeah.
Just getting on a call with me and picking my brain, I am not saying it is a letdown because I don't think so. But I can understand how someone might have that feeling of like deflation at the end of a call. Like, oh my God, wait, what am I going to do now? Because it's the onus is on them to do the work. In this pop-up offer, I'm still doing that work for you. The only thing I'm not doing is implementing it. The only thing I'm not doing is writing the blogs, but I'm going to give you the title of some of your blog posts. I'm going to tell you what keywords are going to work within that blog post. And I'm going to make sure that you do not stray from the goals within that content strategy or the goals within the SEO. Because as everyone that I've worked with, we are our own worst enemy. I am my own worst enemy, which in some ways, me being my own worst enemy is what started this pop-up offer that I do think was smart and strategic because I have thought it through. But we need to make sure that the work that we're doing as business owners or hiring out or just paying for is actually giving us a return on investment. And more specifically to that, that return on investment feels good within our own capacity and like mental energy as well, because no one's going to do their SEO updates and no one is going to sit there and write blogs if they don't feel excited about it, if they don't feel like they have the ability to go ahead and do this. But if someone gives them that, they're going to write the blogs.
I agree 1,000% with everything you said. And I also want to say that business owners need strategy. They need strategy. They may even know enough to say, I want strategy. But most of the time, selling an hour or a half day or a day or whatever of your time to talk about strategy is not going to be an easy ask. It's not going to be something, like I say, it has to be easy to service and easy to sell, because a standalone offer of strategy leaves people with too much to be done after the strategy session. So did they get something valuable? They may vaguely know that they did, but they won't believe that they got something valuable until that strategy can be converted into something they can see with their eyes or hold in their hands. You know, it reminds me that I read people are more satisfied when they go see a doctor when they leave with a prescription.
Yeah, because they feel like they got something from it.
They feel like they got their money's worth. If you go to the doctor and the doctor does whatever the doctor does and tells you, well, everything looks ship shape, you may be relieved, but you won't be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Versus they say, everything looks good except for your whatever levels are low. So I want you to go, let's say your vitamin D levels are low. So I want you to go on this supplement for 12 weeks and then we'll test you again. Now you're like, wow, I'm so glad I went to the doctor. I never would have known I had low vitamin, and now I've got a prescription and now I can take action and now I can fix my own problem. And that feels like—
And now you have the timeline. The timeline part's important too.
Yes.
Because that's part of why strategy is so like palatable for the consumer when they have a small deliverable. And I found this very specifically. I'm glad that I mentioned earlier that I work with big brands and tiny businesses, because I can create a literal 1 year strategy, content strategy for a huge brand, and they're going to be thrilled. They're going to want to add to it on top of that. Yeah. If I give an entire year's content strategy to a small business, even if I do the work to explain where the pivots happen and what to do if a newsworthy thing adjusts this or XYZ, even if I do that work, they are so overwhelmed.
Yes.
It's like a deer in headlights, and they do not like that. And that's fine, because as a small business owner myself, I get that there's so many more things that pop up. Like, you know, my children get sick and that can derail my client work, which derails my marketing, which all of the above, right? Or even just to think, like, let's say you assume you're going to do a blog a week, which is 52 blogs. For me, that's nothing.
Yeah.
For business owners, that is a lot of work. Like one blog a week, it's 52 pieces of content. Let's say you start strong in quarter one, because everyone starts really strong in quarter one. Mid-February, once cabin fever's happening and people are just in their business versus that like new year excitement, that's it. They're done. They're like, yeah. I don't even know if this is working. Because again, SEO and content strategy, they can be a tough sell, because you do not see your return immediately. You get website copy, your designer puts it up on the page, and people compliment you. Or people say like, oh, that's so fun. I didn't know you offered that. Or, you know, I love those new pictures. The way you describe yourself on the about page is like really, you know, made me feel so confident to hire you. That doesn't happen with SEO and content strategy.
No.
With SEO, I hear so many people be like, well, you can see, you know, results in 3 to 6 months. Yeah, maybe like the teeniest results, but you want to have a true campaign with SEO. You need a year and a half to truly measure bigger campaign.
Not sexy.
You know, it's not. And like, you know, it's when your budgets are smaller, which again, I'm a small business owner. I'm not a big brand. My budget is nothing like the big brand's budgets. It's frustrating to not see the immediate return. But that's where I think this pop-up idea plays a significant role.
Oh.
I am actually giving them a somewhat immediate return. On top of that, they will be able to build upon that return. You know, like any SEO effort you do today will serve you in the long run. it could serve you 2 years from now if you're like, you know, your business doesn't change, your website, the technical aspects stay well. If your content strategy doesn't, you know, completely pivot to a new area, yeah, 2 years from now, you could still be raking in clients from that. But at least in a little tiny package, you're able to say like, okay, this feels reasonable to do. This feels like exciting to do. There's the quick win. There's the ROI.
Yep.
And then the effort that you put into those quick little tiny things will then provide actually even more of a financial ROI for purchasing. So, you know, while the pop-up offer was definitely like an ADHD compulsion of me just saying like, could I fill this with a larger client? Sure. Do I really want to be distracted by a larger client? Because I will say, the times I've struggled providing excellent client service to my clients have truly been where my capacity is at a strain. These tiny one-off sessions, I'm constantly going into them feeling fresh. I'm constantly going into them feeling like I bring my best self to them, so they're getting the best, you know, delivery. So, you know, I think the pop-up offers like this are both selfish and selfless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of nice to have that sometimes in business.
Oh, I love that. I love this for you. I love this for your clients. You know, there's a concept that I teach my clients and encourage them to look for ways to operationalize. And you're demonstrating it in what you're talking about right now, Erin. The concept is what's good for me is good for them. What's good for them is good for me. And because all my clients have ADHD, as do I, the idea that yes, if the type of transformation that we are committed to co-creating is going to take time, it's going to, like I cover over the course of 6 months with a client, positioning, packaging, pricing, and promoting. And we may make significant changes in their business, their website, their marketing strategy, their offers, you know, their target market, their niche, their pricing. It takes time and people need time to integrate changes into how they run their business, what kind of systems they need for their business, whether they need additional support in their business, and even their identity as a business owner. However, people with ADHD also need short-term, time-limited, outcome-focused wins that they literally know, I'm going to spend this much time with this person talking about this thing, and this is how it's going to pay me back over time. That seems like something that sometimes we just need to punctuate our longer-term engagements with something quick and fun and time limited. I refer to it as when I used to go out for coffee, going into Starbucks or Pete's or wherever, or going into a record store and flipping through vinyl or whatever, and talking to the person who works there is a brief, meaningful interaction. Like I'm having a quick relationship with somebody, right? And I'm talking to a new person, I'm getting a lot of excitement out of it. And that fuels me for other longer term relationships that don't have that level of freshness and novelty. So I think there's something about offers like this, especially sprints, even calling it sprints, you call it SEO sprint and a content sprint, that conveys quick movement, action, results, and within a specific time frame. One of the reasons why I think many of us have some difficulty, especially during this time, when there seems to be more issues with trust, people are slower to buy, they're more skeptical. You know, this has been something that's been coming for a little bit. Giving them a quick win that isn't a brief win. The win is delivered quickly. It isn't like eating a candy bar and 5 minutes later you're hungry again, or having a massage and an hour later you're in pain again. The results are delivered quickly. Your time commitment is quick, but the results can continue to go on and on. I imagine somebody could use one of these SEO sprints or content sprints. They could take the same exact one and keep reusing it, right?
Oh, totally. Especially the content one, because what happens in the content one is I like to think in terms of categories when I think of content, and it's really just having a package for something. And a lot of business owners or anyone who's doing their own marketing does not like to think like that. I even struggle in my own business putting that thinking cap on. Mm. But what we're doing when we're thinking in terms of like these buckets or categories, whatever you want to call it, is we're just giving them opportunity to fill that in at any point in time. So they have a bucket that says like behind the scenes, let's, I'm making this up to give it, they, like make it work for the most people. Right. If I tell them for your behind the scenes work, you want to talk about like your previous experience, you want to talk about case studies, you want to talk about this, there's now six different categories, subcategories that while they're ideating, as they're writing things, as they're doing their building blocks, they're going to say, oh, I'm going to add that to the list, or mm-hmm. I'm going to pull from that later. And that gives them the tools to say, okay, Erin and I talked about the fact that if I'm going to blog once a week over the course of the year, I know that one of those blogs will be me repurposing, let's say, old podcast content. It's mm-hmm. easy for me to pull any piece of content and then repurpose that into mm-hmm. a blog, just add some more thoughts to it. So they have all these tools that they can build on, or they can just keep recycling the same mm-hmm. advice because that's not going to change. And I think that's actually a pretty key thing to think about, even if we're not talking about like the pop-up part, but like as a marketer, you can keep doing the same things if you like doing them. Like if you love repurposing content, why are you trying to start from scratch? Just keep repurposing mm-hmm. things because there's always a new angle. Like Sleeping Beauty, like Cinderella, all these stories are just repurposed mm-hmm. over and over and over and over and over again. There's very little amount of storytelling that is not somehow related to previous generational stories. So do that for your business. Find something you really enjoy. You know, I also tell people when they think of blogs, if they think they're a good writer, but they do not necessarily like doing the writing, they might do really well talking. Like take your podcast, those transcriptions, or if you have a topic and content creation is new to you, but again, writing's not your favorite, make a YouTube video and like say all the things you want to say in the blog post. When you rewatch it again, you're going to say like, oh, I mentioned three tips in that. So there's the interior of your blog post. So not to get too far into the content strategy part, but it's just the example of saying a pop-up session like this is giving the buyer tools that they get a quick win and tools that they can consistently use. Same thing with SEO. If I'm showing you how to write a strong H1 and, you know, the like why you would maybe change the title for SEO purposes, what you need in a meta description, ways that you can incorporate SEO keywords like ethically in alt text, because alt text is just for accessibility. Like those are things that don't change. So you've seen it. I've given you the education on how to do it. You could just roll with that later on. And I think that there's many ways to implement this in different types of businesses. It doesn't have to be strategy-based, but really what I did when I was trying to plan this was, one, it all started with my capacity. Two, what is going to benefit the actual client? And then three, how can I create something that is not, the word ongoing is wrong here, but like that has that stopping point? So I know my SEO is going to benefit, you know, taking it in those three things. It's benefiting me because I know these short sessions will work really well with my brain and I will feel refreshed to do all the other work I have to do. It benefits the client for both of those SEO and content reasons we just discussed. And then they're able to take that and they don't just have that like one-off deliverable or one-off session that they get the information from. They can then do more with it. So that's how I think I would recommend people design their offers. Like, how does it work with your capacity? How does it benefit your audience? And then how can you make it feel like something that's going to be bigger than the actual event? Because my sessions really weren't just that call. They were everything that got discussed on the call. They were everything that they can build upon. The call is the least of the selling factor. The selling factor is the strategy.
And because so many people say, I'm willing to do it. I have the capacity to do it. I just need a roadmap.
Yeah.
Now, oftentimes we're not being entirely honest with ourselves when we say that, because oftentimes we also need some sort of accountability and scheduling. Otherwise, we won't do it. But you literally are delivering an independent service and deliverable that they can then take and use to get an immediate win, and they can also use to get a longer term win, which is not possible with content strategy or SEO strategy on the bigger scale. Like, I know how long these things take, right? And that's not sexy. And it's definitely not attractive to an ADHD brain, because we're like, wait a minute. Oh, stop. You're telling me that I have to figure all this shit out, even with your help, and that I'm going to have to do it for 6 months to a year before there's any noticeable improvement at all. And then I'm going to have to keep on doing it as long as I'm in business. Are you out of your freaking mind? So it's like being able to offer that quick win, which may be an entry into a longer term program and maybe not, or maybe they're going to try to do it on their own for a while and end up working with you in a different capacity later. You know what I'm wondering though? You sent an email out after the email where you created this offer and shared it, and I reached out to you. And you sent a different kind of email the very next day. And you even referenced the fact that I had reached out and I said, Erin, I think it's time for you to come back on the podcast because I really want to talk about this pop-up offer thing. I would love to hear you talk about this because this is new to you. And you're like, okay, this seems like a great idea and I'm going to do it. But maybe there's something about the way you did it that didn't work out exactly as you planned. So had you known that, you would have done it differently, kind of thing.
100%. Again, I thought of this offer about a couple hours before my children got off the bus, and not just on a normal weekday, on a weekend. So I had to develop the offer, get it out there quickly, let everyone know in all the different ways, and then step into my role as a mom. And I had all these weekend plans. We had children's birthday parties. I planted 261 cloves of garlic over that weekend that I launched this. Wow. But I got the idea out because I was excited about it. And I think because I've had a podcast for years now, I've had a lot of people hire me for these strategy calls and things. I think I just assumed my email list would jump on the offer. Like, oh, wow, this is only $500. Like, yeah, sign me up. Yeah. And after like a solid day went by, I was like, yeah, nobody bought anything yesterday, which you shouldn't expect that in pop-up offers. Could that work? 100%. But like, we can't just expect immediate gratification in the sense of me getting people booking. But it made me actually think, like, knowing better, we shouldn't also offer people things at the end of the workday on a Friday when everyone is going into weekend mode for like a traditional type of job. Even though I exist on the, you know, World Wide Web and I don't sit in an office, I'm, like I said, I'm still stepping more into mom mode on the weekend. So I sent an email out to just be like, hey, guess what? I didn't sell any offers. And that is because I launched this on the weekend. So I get that. And here's some more information that I do think you do need to know about why you would want to purchase this thing. Or what I actually did too, shortly after that first follow-up email, was I extended the sale to make it a solid week. Something in my brain when I launched this on a Friday told me, Erin, you have a podcast episode coming up on Wednesday, which is that pre-launch phase where I announced my webinar, which with the webinar then leads to the actual group program. You need to have this done by Wednesday so it doesn't compete. But then I was like, but it doesn't compete. And it's not fair to people if they would want to purchase this offer to not give them the time to ask their questions to purchase the offer. So I'm not sure if I answered that correctly, but that I launched it on a Friday.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I mean, it's kind of like ADHD strengths and struggles. Something I've learned working with folks with ADHD who are business owners for a number of years now is that the ones who are able to go from ideation to implementation as quickly as you did tend to have success come more quickly and in some respects more easily. It's when we get too stuck in our heads, we get too caught up in the details, we get too precious with something and overthinking and analysis paralysis and trying to make it perfect before it sees the light of day. You didn't do any of that. You just bypassed the whole shit show and said, this is a good idea. I think it's worth a shot. Create and out.
And I don't know if this will make people feel better, especially if they've done pop-up offers and they didn't see success. But the reason I was able to take action so quickly is this is what I'm offering people is a skill and a service that I've done a million times before. So One thing I got really in my own head about in the actual initial offering of this offer is the fact that I didn't have a web page for it, which I just sent them right to a public proposal using Dubsado, which is a CRM mm-hmm. that I use. Mm-hmm. So the information's there. They're able to book. They're able to fill in their questionnaire answers, which are very short and easy to complete. They don't need to like think about stuff while they're filling it in, and pay all in one tiny little section. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a big pro. But yeah. As a person who works on websites all the time, all I could think of, which I did actually end up changing, but all I could think of is like, I need a website page for this. I'm glad that I launched without the website page. The one thing I am testing is the idea that people maybe aren't buying right away because they still are so conditioned to want to physically see something before they purchase, right? Mm-hmm. So I share this in my email. Email to sales is easy funnel because these people know me, they trust me, I'm in their inbox regularly. They are likely listening to my show, so they have that, again, that camaraderie built in. Mm-hmm. However, when I share that Dubsado link on social media, I'm just saying like, hey, go buy an SEO sprint. And then they get a calendar and they're like, what the heck is happening here? Even if I've talked about it a ton, even if I've described it well. So part of the test in this pop-up, which I really think you should be jump to the idea of testing, but not jump too quickly when it comes to strategy, is do the sales increase quickly once there is that like stomping ground page where they can visually see the words and then make the purchase? My gut reaction says yeah. So initially, this pop-up offer caused me some anxiety, and I thought it was better to roll with the being honest of saying like, hey, 24 hours went by and nobody is giving me their money. Like, please do that, you know, with that initial email or knowing that I needed to make a little bit of adjustment just because that was the right thing to do. And that's what would benefit me because things aren't just smooth sailing and, you know, all the time, but you can make them smoother sailing and you can get big wins when you are strategic about making these decisions.
And one of the things you can also do, which you are clearly doing, that makes all of this smoother and easier with less friction and a lot more fun is consider everything an experiment. Oh, you know, yes. You're mm-hmm. like, I'm just gonna, you know what? I see I've got some room in my calendar. I can make a couple of pop-up offers pretty quick and easy here. And I'm gonna put them out there. And you didn't get super butt hurt. You might've been a little confused, but you didn't get butt hurt. You didn't personalize it and think, oh my God, this is so cringe. I'm super embarrassed. I need to go hide away. You were like, huh, that didn't go as I expected. Not throw the whole thing away and go drown my sorrows, but maybe there's something missing, or maybe the timing wasn't right, or maybe this. I mean, that's why I think mindfulness practice is so important for small business owners. Be open, be curious, and be non-judgmental. It's all an experiment. And anybody who tells you they know what they're doing all the time is full of shit. You came back and said, huh, I did this thing. I thought it was really cool. Even one of my favorite podcaster friends reached out and said, this is a well-positioned, well-priced, timely offer. I'd like to have you come on my podcast and talk about it. You're like, how come it's not selling? You didn't even hide that, which I think it's, I think one of the reasons why folks with ADHD can often be perceived by others as being like immature or emotional. But damn it, if we aren't authentic,
right?
When we don't get the results we expect, instead of having the good sense to hide away, we're like, what the hell, guys? I made this terrific offer and nobody's buying. Yes. Like, what am I doing wrong? And guess what? You will not only get information from people who will say, oh, well, I didn't even see it because it's the weekend. And you're like, oh.
Right.
Or
right.
Actually, I was going to get around to it. I just got distracted. Or when did you send it? Like, now we've got information. Now we've got data. Right. You didn't get your ego up in your business is what I'm saying.
And I think that part of the reason I was able to do that is just from being in business for a while. I think earlier on, I might have felt a little bit more anxiety or shame or, you know, uncertainty about how to proceed. But if timeline wise, this helps anyone, again, I did this on Friday. I had someone reach out and asking me about within the first 24 hours, I had someone reach out asking me about payment terms. Mm-hmm. I had someone give me a compliment on the price. And then I had business friends be like, oh, hold up, you need to increase this price because I know what you offer and this is too low.
Yeah.
So I share all this again. Yes, it's, you know, transparency is one of the big like values that I run my business by. But I share this also to say that had I been younger in my business, I would have probably just been like, I'm going to end this really quick. I'm not going to extend it to Friday, or I'm not going to talk about it. Now I'm like, I need to keep talking about it because people are obviously in the process of making these purchases. They're just figuring it out on their own time.
Hey boss, we want to keep this actionable. So remember, just because you can cook up a brand new offer with half your brain tied behind your back doesn't mean it's the best way to use your creative energy. A true pop-up offer delivers quick wins for both you and your clients, and they're served up hot, fresh, and fun. Check the links in the show notes to find out more.